and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, a conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. New episodes are released the first Monday of the month. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hi.
And joining us this month is our friend Robert. Woo!
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show, Robert. Denise, tell the people how we know Robert.
Back in the day, before COVID.
Before the apocalypse.
Yeah, seriously. There used to be this coffee shop in Montebello. We're in Montebello, called The Daily Brew. And we, Rod and I, passed it like so many times. You're like, finally, like, you know, hey, let's go try this coffee shop out. Like, Robert, we met Robert there. He served us. And there was a little like chalkboard or something that said the events like for the week. And it said that there was an open mic. And I had never been to an open mic, and I had been contemplating it because I had been like, this was like in my beginning stages of my music like career. Not just kidding. But yeah, so I asked you about like the open mic, and you gave me some info, and then we showed up, and then Robert was always there for the open mic. So yeah.
Yeah. That's good how we times. Met.
Never got nights off. That's why. Just kidding.
I know. He's like, yeah, I was there because I had to work. Like, I wish I wasn't there.
I feel like, didn't you come in like a couple times just because of the mic or no?
Yeah, like here and there. And then, you know, over time, we started to garner like a community.
Yeah.
We started to see regulars there. Then we saw, eventually Ketchup started joining us.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool. And then, yeah, of course, I'd always go and try and support.
Yeah. Like, I really loved that mic, and I was really sad to like see like when, I mean, I was just really sad when, you know, Terry announced that he was closing down. And I really thought like people would approach whoever like came next and like would hopefully like they'd bring back the mic, but no, nothing. Like,
yeah.
It's okay. And it's been through several like.
Two at least.
Yeah, two. It was another coffee shop, and then
it tried to get like, real fancy. Did you ever go to that real fancy version?
Yeah, Balrog.
Yeah. I forgot the name.
Yeah, he was a brew cup champion, that guy.
Yes, he had the awards and everything.
Yeah, he's pretty legit.
Yeah,
it's
very
crazy.
But I was like, this is too fancy for Montebello, my guy.
I know, I was just like, and for Montebello, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, very interesting. Yeah, it was cool, you know. But obviously it didn't stand the test of time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe people weren't digging it. What is it now? Or what happened
after that?
California Boba.
Oh. Now it's a Boba spot.
Boba
which,
spot.
I mean, I don't know how those stay open. Because there's one like in every corner, pretty much.
Yeah, like Starbucks.
Well, especially if you go to Monterey Park. Monterey Park, there's like a Boba spot everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, yeah, it was pretty sad to see the Daily Brew close down. Because Terry really did seem to be about the community. Even though he didn't live in Montebello, I don't think.
No, right? He didn't. He lived a little closer to ELAC, I'd say.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So then it was just interesting that he was just so involved with the community, and he opened up the space to like the community and stuff like that. And then, yeah, all these other places that have taken over, like, you don't really see that. And it's just kind of like, oh, that kind of sucks.
I think Terry still, I think he works in Montebello.
Oh. Okay.
I don't want to. But he's still around, I think. But yeah, it was definitely cool what he was trying to do, or what he did accomplish, you know, especially with the art walk.
Yeah,
we had in Montebello for a little bit. That was really cool.
Yeah.
We had to pull like I think a couple of permits just to have people on the sidewalk. So that was cool. And then people came in, you know, for a show. And then we had the barber Jose. He would come out with his rock band and, you know, play with all his dudes right there. So that was a very cool time for Montebello.
Like, yeah,
you don't see that too often.
No,
they still have the art walk every now and then. I know it's not as consistent. I think I even remember the Montebello Film Festival.
Oh,
remember that?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
film
man.
Wait, were you still at the Daily Brew, right?
I didn't, honestly, this is the first time hearing about this.
Oh. No, so they featured some guy's like film or whatever. I don't know. I remember there was a
It
couple.
Wasn't really a film festival. It was just a screening for this one guy's movie.
But you know what? You called it. Like, I played a festival and you could be like, oh, it wasn't really a festival. But you know what? They called it a film festival. Yeah. They called it a women's festival. So I technically played a festival and I would take it. I'll run with it. So yeah, if they wanted to call it a film festival and they played like two little short movies, like, you know what? You put that on your resume. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
go for it.
But yeah, it was cool.
It just goes to show like how supportive and just like, you know, hey, I have this idea, and like Terry would give you that space to bring it to life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
definitely.
That was really cool.
Yeah, really
appreciated that about him.
Shout out to Terry. Thank you, Terry. Wherever
you
are.
Shout out, Terry. Shout out Maria.
I don't know Maria.
Is that his wife?
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay. Shout out Maria and Terry. There you go.
I never met his wife, but he would always mention her. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. If you want to get hold of the show, email is the best way to do it. feedback@lppod.com. We're also on Instagram. That's really the only one that I use. It's at the LP Pod. And Denise, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
At D for Music, DeeFur Music on Instagram.
All right. And Robert,
if you want to get a hold of me, it's at RUEBERT. Rubert. And then Ruberto, actually. I just add an O at the end of that. But yeah, we're good.
I'll include links to everything in the show notes as always. Now would be a good time to kind of tell all the folks at home the theme for this week and why it was chosen. So Robert, do you want to tell everybody at home why you chose this theme?
The theme I wanted to go with is shoegaze. Shoegaze is a genre of music, which essentially is that. Like, it's called just staring at your shoes. Particularly because the guitarists in shoegaze bands are usually just stuck staring at their pedals. Because they got all these different, like, I guess, modifications for the sounds they're trying to make on stage and things like that. So, like, shoegaze, in a nutshell, you could put it as, like, My Bloody Valentine, obviously Slow Dive. Some of the early ones could be Drop 19s and things like that. Jesus and the Mary Chain actually could be considered a little bit, but that's debatable. But yeah, the reason why I chose this one is because personally, I've seen a little bit of a resurgence with the popularity for shoegaze, and it feels like there's a comeback. Like, we're on the cusp or the precipice of an oncoming, like, very much wave of shoegaze. Let's just call it that.
Nice.
Like, whenever someone says, like, oh, it's coming back, I think of Alone Together.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's with, I forgot the guy's name, Esther Pavinsky.
Damn, I forgot the guy's name too.
Yeah, but it's the guy saying, he's like, ska's coming back, man. I know. He's like, ska's coming back. And he's like teaching this kid how to play the guitar. And like, he's teaching him all these ska things and like ska songs. But yeah, every time someone's like, oh, it's whatever's coming back. And I always think of him like saying that.
Yeah. Oh, Benji, I'll follow.
Oh, yeah. It's a good show.
Yeah. It's on Hulu still, I think, if people want to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're big. I don't know. Are we big Esther Pavinsky fans?
Like, we watch her podcasts, but
sometimes
we'll watch some of her stuff. Like, we watched her movie, but I did not enjoy her movie.
Alone Together. It's a great show. Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought her movie Drugstore June was going to be like. And then it just was not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so don't check that out, but check out Alone Together.
Yeah.
But anyways, I reached out to a longtime friend of ours, Jen A, because I thought she was big into shoegaze, but apparently not. Because I was like, hey, dude, I was like, do you happen to have like a Spotify playlist for like some shoegaze bands or something? I was like, because that's the theme for the next podcast. And I'm really not familiar with this genre at all. And she was like, nah, I don't have a playlist. But then she kind of told me, she was like, oh, but shoegaze is good for hyper focus. And I was like, oh, okay.
We're doing like a spectrum? Like, what do you mean hyper focus?
I think she meant like if you're like trying to like focus on your work, it's like good background music for that, I guess. That's what I took it as. But I guess I'll ask her. Jen, what did you mean by that? And then I'll and then she continued. She said it's a lot of sounds and no real focus on lyrics. It's more the feeling or the vibes, as the kids say. Haha. Would you agree with that, Robert?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. Nice. Good job, Jen. And then, so I was kind of like, because I'm not familiar with shoegaze at all. Like, I've listened to a few things and I was like, I just wasn't in the right mindset. You know what I mean?
It's very crunchy, very loud.
Yeah.
I get you. I know where you're coming from.
And it's also just like a lot of like noise rock kind of thing. And
I'm
just
yeah.
Like, very avant-garde. Just like, oh, we're just jamming, dude. We're just feeling the vibes. I think, yeah, like My Bloody Valentine, Loveless, that's probably like the thing that I'm most familiar with.
Yes.
But other than that, I'm like completely clueless, right? And then I did find like a Reddit thread where like people were really like giving a lot of recommendations and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. And then somebody in the comments, they basically described it as like, you know, heavy effects pedals on the guitar or key parts, lots of echo, reverb, and fuzz, overall hazy or dreamy sound, and often hard to hear, almost indiscernible vocals and lyrics. So yeah, basically everything that you guys were saying. I guess we'll get to the first song. Now, Robert, if you're not familiar with the format of the show, we make a guest sandwich. So Denise and I take turns going first, and then the guest goes right in the middle, and then either one of us finishes. So I went first last month. So Denise, you get to go first. I'm really curious to see what Robert is going to say about your song.
Oh, okay.
I did listen to it a little bit. Is that the one?
Yeah, the Brian Jamestown Massacre.
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. So I'm curious to see what Robert will say, because in my head, I'm thinking one thing.
So did you guys pick shoegaze songs?
Wait, what?
Did you guys
pick shoegaze songs, or you guys just pick songs?
I picked shoegaze.
I looked up shoegaze, and it gave me a list of bands.
He's already in trouble.
No, you're good. I'm not any
give
authority
her an F,
on
Robert.
This.
Give her an F. No.
Fail.
You're like, today's your song fucking sucked. No,
I had never heard of the Brian's Jamestown Massacre. See, I don't know if
Neither
I was looking
I.
up. I don't know if I was looking up like some documentary.
Dig? Like, did you watch it?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, never mind. That's another thing. Sorry, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay, so Robert told me the theme. I looked up shoegaze. I looked up all these bands. And this was the only band besides Jesus, Mary, whatever. I'm Chain.
Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Chain.
We should not have a music podcast.
No. It's just, you know, it's on a different field. That's all it is. Same game.
I saw this band and I was like, oh, I recently found like a song that I love by them. So I was like, this will be my song because it says that it's shoegaze. Like, I trust the internet and like everything that it says. I feel like it kind of fits the theme. I want to talk about it afterwards or whatever of what I love about this song. But I just wanted to mention, so it's the Brian Jonestown Massacre. The song is Anemone. And, wait, is it?
I thought it was Anemone.
Anemone.
Yeah.
Right?
Like a flower.
Yeah. It's a flower. Yeah. I had to look it up. And this band has been around since 1990 to like present, dude. And I just thought that was, I mean, Pearl Jam's still around or whatever, but they have put out, like they recently put out an album in 2023. I was like, whoa, I was like, this band is still putting out music. Not just, I don't know how many, I compared to Pearl Jam because, you know, Pearl Jam came around like 1991. Oh, yeah. So I was like, to still be putting out music. This band has like 21 albums out, and I was like, oh damn. And like the most recent is 2023, so I was like, all right, like I haven't listened to anything of them except for this. I did listen to this album like when I found this song. So this song just started playing, like I was playing another band and this song just came on afterwards, and I was like, oh, like I love this, like love this. This is my jam. Like I asked Spotify, like, or my Google, I was like, hey Google, who sings this song? And then I played the album. So this is the only album that I've listened to. It's off their Satanic Majesty's Second Request. It was from 1996. I really dug this song. I think it has the tones that you guys have been mentioning of what shoegaze is, but maybe it's not exactly shoegaze. So we're going to play it, and then Robert, you tell me if I failed.
Okay? No, what? Okay.
All right, so with that, we're going to play the Brian Jonestown Massacre. I just want to, again, defend. So I feel like there's effects pedals in this. There's slow-paced lyrics. And in my head, I just picture, like you said, this was hyper-focused music.
Right. And I, well, like, I didn't. Jenny did.
Oh, Jenny. I feel like I could work and like actually focus on my work while listening to this. But when I first heard the song, I imagined like this movie that I was watching, like this detective scene where it's like a woman detective and she's just like drinking coffee and she's doing all this research or whatever and like trying to pinpoint
stuff.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Film noir kind of thing.
I guess.
I don't know. She has like all the pictures on the board
and she's
stuff.
Just piecing it together while this song is like playing.
Yeah, fuck with that. Yeah.
Anyways,
that still doesn't make a shoegaze, but
God damn it. Robert, what do you think?
Robert, you're the expert.
Okay. Let's go with the armchair expert. But you know what? I like it. I dig it. Actually, I could see myself playing that on my way, going to and from. Joshua Tree.
I was gonna say the desert. Yeah,
very much so. Like, it's such like, ooh, you know, it's clean,
it's a vibe.
I would say, I mean, did the band consider this shoegaze? Like, I mean,
when I was looking up like different like websites or whatever, some said shoegaze, but again, like, yeah, I would consider this more psychedelic, and that's what
definitely the, yeah,
along
that
genre
that.
Or whatever.
Yeah I definitely hear that.
Yeah,
the thing so is, maybe. We can still hear her voice. So if it was like surrounded by crunchy guitar, then it'd be shoegaze. That's what I would say.
Well.
No, you know what? We all got to go to a shoegaze show. There's a couple coming up in like April for a couple of bands that are like in from LA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you let us know and we will check them out.
Shout out Luster. Hopefully we can go see you guys. You know,
what are they playing? Do you know?
April on the 6th. They're playing at the Midnight Hour in the SFV. For the San Fernando Valley, the Midnight Hour.
Oh, Jesus,
is
all the way over there.
Oh, my gosh.
But I'm like, that's too
carpool.
Far for me.
We could carpool.
Oh. Along those lines, so you go to a lot of shows?
Yeah, I mean, when I didn't have my schedule stacked like it is right now, I do try. Like, it's one of my favorite things to do outside of, you know, just do laundry at home. Just kidding.
It's like shows and the laundry. Top two.
No, I do love checking out new shoegaze bands. And then one of the things I do try to do is write a little tiny review on Twitter and stuff. So it'll be fun to like, you know, take pictures and be like, oh, I love this band, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, you know? Shit.
Like, it's very cool. Very kind of like off the cuff journalism.
Nice.
So to speak.
Yeah. Wait, and you said you do this on Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter. Because I love Twitter.
And it's the same handle?
Or X, excuse me. Yeah X. Rubric.
All right, so, there you go. Check it out. So it's the same handle on Twitter and on Instagram. Oh, sorry, X.
Yes. Well, you'll be able to find me.
I love that.
I haven't done it in a while, but if I have more free time, definitely would love to do that. So
it's kind of like a little like, well, because Twitter's like such a short format. So it's like a short little quick like, saw this band.
It's like a little blurb and then a picture. Basically all you got to do. Yeah. Now, you can record too and all that, but you have to have like good equipment.
Right.
I'm working with like an Android, so yeah.
Androids are good, man.
No,
we're
I feel
all
like
Android
iPhones
people.
Take the cake when it comes to like media like that.
Yeah? Are you thinking about switching the next
phone? Oh, no. No, not me.
Oh, okay, okay. But dude, that's so cool. Like, there's so many different ways for you to just be creative nowadays with like the internet and social media and this and that. It's like there's really no reason not to. So it's like, whatever. You just do it. Like, you don't, you know, it'll just come natural. Like, if you get traction, if you don't, whatever, who cares? You're doing it. It kind of goes along with I'm really obsessed with and we had gone a few months without me mentioning it.
Oh,
but
God.
Here it is. So Rick Rubin,
oh my God,
he wrote this book called The Creative Act, and longtime listeners know that I've been talking about this forever.
Rick Rubin, that's the Capitol Records guy.
He's like the record producer.
Oh, dude, that guy doesn't even play an instrument.
Yeah.
I know.
Dude, that's his whole thing. He's like, I don't play an instrument. I don't do anything. He's like, I've never like, I don't know how half the shit in the studio works. He's like, what I bring to the table is like, you know, the creative spirit or whatever. And yeah, so he wrote this whole book about just like being creative, and his whole thing is like everybody is creative. You know what I mean? Like writing a letter to your friend, like that's being creative. Like being creative just means like creating something that didn't exist before. You know what I mean? And then now with more than anything with capitalism, everybody's just like the only way to be creative is like to make money off of it. But he's kind of saying like, nah, dude, like just be creative, just create whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's really cool that you do that. Like, I'm going to check that out for sure.
Oh, I haven't done it for a long time.
I know, I understand. But you're going to get back on it, like, this week. No, just kidding. Hopefully.
I mean, if I catch that next Lester show, I'd be down.
Yeah, that'd be cool, dude. That's so cool.
Thank you.
So, Denise, I dug your song. I definitely thought, like, it was more on, like, the psychedelic side of things.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned you listened to the rest of this album.
Yes.
And, like, the whole vibe of it is more psychedelic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did some like Googling on the band and stuff, and the title of the album and the music itself is influenced by the Rolling Stones 1967 album, Their Satanic Majesty's Request. So they just went like, oh, this is like second the second request.
Yeah.
Like this band was like prolific, like back in like their early days. This was like the second of three albums that they released like that year.
Yeah. Like multiple albums per year.
Yeah. Like it was crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many people are in the band?
At least like six.
It was a big band.
Yeah, it was one of those big jam bands.
Yeah. When you mentioned the documentary, I thought you were talking about the documentary that came out for this band. It's called Dig. And shout out to Chris over at the Our Liner Notes podcast. I think he's mentioned it a couple of times. I've never seen the documentary. I finally started watching it earlier today when I was doing the show notes, but I only got like 30 minutes in, so I'll finish it either later tonight or tomorrow or something. The documentary follows the Brian Jonestown Massacre and the Dandy Warhols. And I guess they came up around the same time, and the two lead singers were kind of friends. And it just kind of follows the trajectory of each band and how the Dandy Warhols went on to like be like pretty successful, I guess, during their time. And how the Brian Jonestown Massacre didn't, because basically like the lead singer was just so like crazy and like volatile and just like difficult to work with and stuff.
I want to check that out because I also like the Dandy Warhols.
Oh, dude, there you go. We'll watch it later. Yeah. All right. Robert, shoegaze, no shoegaze.
Final verdict. I would, it's a creative thing. Like it could be whatever. It's very subjective.
Yeah.
But no, it's
fine. Gun in my head, flatter my brains. I would say no.
Okay, fine. It's okay. I'm sorry, you guys.
You failed, bro.
No, I'm not the authority on this. I swear. I just it. I enjoy it.
And with that, we move on to Robert. Robert, go ahead. Oh, well, actually, you had an honorable mention.
I did. Yes. Yeah. Honorable mention is the song Water Lily by Crushed, who is a outfit that came out about a year ago. And they debuted with this song along with their song Coil. And they're both like very good, I would say, contemporary shoegaze. It's honestly a very pretty song, Water Lily. Same thing with Coil. They're great to see live. They're awesome. They always nail it. And it's just, it's fucking awesome, honestly. Excuse my language, but as far as like for bands coming out and making new versions of shoegaze, this is on the pulse of it, I'd say.
We have a little taste of it here.
Yeah, so that's Bree Morell on the vocals, and I think it's Sean Durkin that does the keyboard and the guitars. Mm-hmm. But they're awesome duo, and they're fucking fantastic. I think I love what they're coming out with. I always try to make their shows, and I just very much enjoy it. It sounds like something that would have came out like 90s, and I was born in 96, but, so I can't take that for what it's worth. But I feel like the kind of music that I heard right now, right, is just very much in that realm, like pre-2000s, I'd say, if to be more correct. And then, like, it kind of blends well in that era.
I definitely get Garbage vibes, like Garbage the band, not like.
No, Janice, don't be rude. Don't be rude to the guests. Jesus Christ.
I definitely dug this band. Yeah.
I made a little playlist. So again, because I was not at all familiar with the genre, I was like, all right. So I went on Reddit. I like saw what people were recommending. I fucking put it all together. Yeah. I put a playlist. I'll include it in the show notes if people want to check it out. And then, so I listened to that album that this is off of and stuff. And it was really good. Like Denise was, I just personally like really love like female vocalists and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, dude, this is amazing. I really dug it. So thank you for sharing that. If people like that little clip, definitely check out the rest of the album, the rest of the song. So you did end up going with.
Oh, yeah. So honorable mention for Crush because they're brand new, brand spanking new on the other end of shoegaze. But on the forefront, like when this stuff was barely coming out, the song I did go with to get the first baby steps into shoegaze would be the Drop 19s, who came out at the beginning of the 90s. and were coming out with out of Boston. I think they've developed their band in college, and they came out with the song Winona. That was their radio hit, I believe. But they didn't go as far as like they should have gone, because I think after they came out, Nirvana started coming out, and they were like really
Boo.
Big. I love Nirvana. They're just like that whole grunge thing took over like crazy, apparently, from what I read on the internet, whatever. So this song, Winona, is one of my favorite ones. It's always like in the back, or it's always on my top songs, because it's so clean. It's very much a 90s. I love shoegaze, and this is like one of those songs that's like, man, you just put it on, so good. Like, I feel like it really strikes, it's kind of like a good entry level shoegaze song, I'd say. Then you can start getting into like the crazier stuff, I'd say.
Yeah.
More crunchier stuff.
All right.
Yeah, so I mean, this next song coming up, Winona by the Drop 19s. Hope you enjoy. So that was Winona. It's so awesome. Like, I feel like that's very vibey and very much like up my alley for like music that I enjoy. And then, you know, another band, it's probably like no surprise, I do enjoy is the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh,
like, right? So you can correlate these two bands. They kind of like two sides of the same coin, for less words to say. They came out around the same time, and like obviously like Smashing Pumpkins are amazing. Drop 19s as well, but like I feel more people have been getting more aware that Drop 19s exist now, because they're even doing like they're doing Sick New World, I believe.
Oh,
next
nice.
Month in April for Las Vegas. So they're going to be playing out there with, I believe, Duster, Slow Dive, I think is playing
Duster,
that set.
Dude.
So, yeah, so these are like all like kind of bands that mesh together.
Yeah, yeah.
For lack of a better word, but yeah, Winona, definitely top shoegaze songs for myself.
So when I was looking into like shoegaze and stuff, some people did mention like early Smashing Pumpkins, like especially like like Siamese Dream, stuff off that. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, I get that. So once I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a band that I'm familiar with, obviously, because everybody's familiar with Smashing Pumpkins, I think. But yeah, so that's kind of what I was feeling. I did see while I was looking them up that I guess they put out two albums and then, yeah, they disbanded. Mm-hmm. And then they got back together like last year, and they put out like their third album like 30 years later or something.
Yes.
Dang.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm assuming you listened to their third album, their most recent one.
You know what? I haven't given it a shot yet.
Oh, okay.
I have not.
I wanted to ask you like if it was still like shoegazy or if they kind of went a different way, but I guess they'll check it out some other time or something. Denise, what did you think about the Drop 19s?
I definitely dug this song. You had sent another song by the same band.
Yes.
It was more instrumental, except for like the very end.
You kicked the tragedy.
And it was just like totally like opposite, like just totally like different. And then so that's why like I thought my song was like on.
No, yeah.
On point, but listening to this song, I was like, and the other song, like I really dug these two songs. But yeah, that other one. Kick the Tragedy. I was like,
It's like an 8-minute song. I don't blame you. But I was really internalizing it, you know, because like, it was such a like coming of age, like, damn. And then like they come up with that monologue at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, it was just very, very good. Listen to it if you haven't.
Yeah,
I'm not going to spoil it.
It was different from from what we played. But yeah, I definitely dug this song. Very 90s. I feel like I would see these bands.
So, Robert, like, what is it about shoegaze that you like love so much? Like, is this like your go-to genre, or is this just what you're really into right now? Or
I've listened to a lot of music throughout my years, as everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I got exposed to all kinds of music, and then to say I settled on this is whack. I don't know. I just fell in love with it. You know, it really it helps me settle into myself. Like, it's just very much it's like my flavor. You know, like,
yeah.
If I had to pick a color, it'd be, and if it was for music, it'd be shoegaze. Like. And my favorite color is red, so my favorite genre would be shoegaze. I don't know. Is that a weird way to say it? I like it. I like the instrumentals. I'm a big fan of like that droning stuff and like all that, like no lyrics, just hearing the sounds. Like, that's very big fan. Like, another band I enjoy is Explosions in the Sky. Mm. It feels like contemporary classic music, like, you know, modern classic music.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Because if you listen to those guys, you know, you play those in the background. Those are songs you can study too. Like, they're beautiful. They're like really well done. Things like that, I really do enjoy. So Duster too. Duster has a lot of that music. One of the songs, Gold Dust, fucking love that song. And again, that's another song that's just all instrumentals. And it's just like, if you're looking at a movie and you're looking for background music, what it feels like, you know?
Yeah. Like, and that just goes along with what Jen was saying, which is like, just like a vibe. Anything else to say about Winona? By the way, does it have to do with Winona Ryder? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I didn't find anything about that. So I just thought maybe there was like some like deep facts about that or something, but I guess not.
There was a lot of Winona songs in the 90s.
Oh, Winona's Big Brown Beaver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
By Primus? Yeah.
Winona had a big brown beaver. You never heard of that?
No. Oh, I only know that one where the guy was like wanted to be a fisherman in the sea, harvester of the sea. I can't remember the name of it. I just remember that one lyric. He doesn't want to go to school. He wants to go fish.
Oh, damn. I can't that one out. And with that, I guess we'll move on to the final song of the evening. Or the day, whenever it is that you're listening to this. That is my song. So again, as I've mentioned a couple times on the show already, I was trying to find something that would like stick out to me or something, because I'm not very familiar. And yeah, like when people said like, oh, the Smashing Pumpkins technically like is shoegaze. But I was like, everybody knows the Smashing Pumpkins. Like, I don't want to go to the Smashing Pumpkins. Somebody mentioned the band Always. Are you familiar with Always?
Oh, yeah. The Canadian one?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah. So somebody said that they're shoegaze. And I was like, really? I was like, that's shoegaze? I kind of thought they were more like dream pop.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, right?
I agree, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Because I was like, yeah, I don't know if that's shoegaze. That's like a little too clean, a little too...
Yes.
Like, yeah. So I was like, nah, I don't think so, right? So anyways, somebody had another Reddit thread. I'm sorry, so many Reddit shout-outs today.
Yeah.
But somebody had another Reddit thread that was like, oh, like, what's your favorite like shoegaze album post like 2020, right? And then I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I didn't even know there was still like... new shoegaze coming up, which you just educated us on, Robert. Thank you very much for that. And yeah, somebody was like, ah, dude, like my favorite, not just like post 2020, but maybe like all time like shoegaze album is To See the Next Part of the Dream by the band Paranoel. Are you familiar with this band?
Not at all.
All right, cool. Here we go.
Nice.
All right. Hopefully you dig it. I don't know. A lot of pressure now.
No.
No, I'm kidding. So I checked it out. You know, Jen A had mentioned like the lyrics are kind of like they take second fiddle to like the soundscapes that are being built and stuff. You know, a lot of times you can't really make them out anyway. And then I was like, oh, okay, cool, that makes sense. So I was listening to this and I was like, damn, Jen was right. Like, I don't understand what this guy's saying at all. And I was like, all right, whatever. Like, I'm digging the vibe, right? I'm digging the vibe. And then I was like, this doesn't sound like English at all. Like, I don't think he's singing in English. And then I looked them up. And then, yeah, it turns out Paranoel is an anonymous South Korean shoegaze musician. He describes himself as just a student writing music in my bedroom. He became pretty popular. The album that this song is off of got a lot of online recognition. He's had a bunch of other music under different pseudonyms or whatever. As Paranoel, he's released 3 albums. This is the second one. The song I went with is the opening track, and it's called Beautiful World. So let's check it out. Let's see what Robert thinks about it.
Yeah.
there you go. That was Beautiful World by Paranoel. Yeah, so what'd you guys think?
Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah, man. You gotta send that to me.
Yes, dude. All right.
That was the jam.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Yeah, yeah. So I looked up the lyrics afterward and I was like, what is he singing about, right? And then yeah, it's super depressing. So
oh, yeah, damn it.
No, well that's good, right? I mean it kinda goes with the theme. But yeah. So it's like this whole very angsty song about, you know, him just wishing people didn't know he was such a loser or something like that. And I was like, damn, bro. Like, damn. Who hurt you? Yeah. There's some other songs like halfway through the album that just get like more like noisy and more like almost screamo kind of vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Screamo in Korean?
Yeah.
He's Korean, right? I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it was, yeah. Denise wasn't a big fan of that one. But yeah, but no, like overall, it was a pretty good vibe. It was very, yeah, it was a lot like this.
Right off the bat, Robert just gave that like, this is A-okay.
He was like, yes, dude, give the thumbs up. Once the crunchy guitars kicked in, he was like,
Oh, yeah, man. After that intro, like,
If people want to check him out, go right ahead. Robert, do you have a secret to like finding new music or new bands?
So I try to stay local, right? Like try to see if there's any bands playing or anything like that in like LA or things that, you know, I can actually get to. The way I would do that is either through like, you know, just a lot of my friends were really into the scene. They have bands themselves. So they'll post like when they're playing or things like that. And I might go check out a show or two. Most of the time, if I'm trying to find new music, like just any new music, I usually just start like a song radio on Spotify.
Oh, okay.
Either that or like I'll be scrolling through TikTok and then sometimes there's like a song I really like there and I'm like, okay, what's that song? Cool. Yeah. So like that and then YouTube, of course, like YouTube will always recommend good songs as well.
Shout out to YouTube because that's how I found Idols for sure.
Oh, yeah. Idols is sick.
But yeah, all right. Well, there you go. So TikTok.
Yeah, a lot of the time is that. And then they'll be posting like the saddest edit of a video. They'd be like, me when I overcook my popcorn in the microwave and it's just them, and it's like the rain coming down on them and it's like them playing a song like the last one we heard. Yeah, stuff like that. It's just very funny.
Oh,
but all right. TikTok's very big for music. It's what it's done to the music industry is crazy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just want to make 2-minute songs now and stuff like that. And stuff that'll just like you're lucky to trend kind of things.
Yeah. And then a lot of times like people now are just like, yeah, making like these really catchy, like 90-second like little like hooks or something.
Yeah.
So I guess the album is dead as a format. Cause yeah, everybody's just like, I just want the one song and you don't even need to do the whole song. I just need like a catchy, like 60-second clip and I'm good.
And that's what I struggle with, like on the 110 is like
albums, the 110 being the 110 podcast.
Yeah, the 110 podcast. Yeah. I love when I find like a good album or maybe there's like a couple albums like out of mine, because when I find a band, I try and do them justice. I listen to everything. You know what I mean? The one guy had what, like 9 albums?
Which one was it?
Vincent Brew.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is a bit much or whatever. But it's usually like a couple albums, but some of them are just like singles. It's like 3 singles or like 1 single. And I was like, dude, but that's only like 1 song. How am I supposed to know you have like good like stuff? And I know like albums are dead. I hear that from like a lot of places. Like albums are dead. Like it's just singles out now. And it just makes me sad because I do love like a good album or even just like an EP. Come on, give me like 4 or 5 songs. Like give me something like I could drive out somewhere to, you know.
And I imagine things like cost a lot more money, right? Because if you're gonna like invest all the money to an album, then like, you know, have people only listen to like the first song, not even get past that.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good point. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, that is true.
To put all that money.
Yeah.
I get like, I don't know, like that.
Especially because now like people, yeah, like people don't buy like albums or just like, I'll just stream it on Spotify, listen to like 1 or 2 songs if that.
Yeah, I mean, I know vinyl is pretty much making a comeback, but like maybe if you had like a 4-song vinyl, maybe. A lot of that, let's see.
But even that costs money.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, oh, dude, like, so I got to put up this much money and then I'm going to have like all these records in my like living room until I can sell them to somebody at a show.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, that does suck too. Sorry, I think I interrupted you.
You're right on. Yeah, right on the money.
And cars aren't even coming with CD players anymore. Like, if you get a new car, like, yeah, it's like no CD players.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They're gonna start putting record players in cars now.
Dude, they never even had that. It was like 8-tracks and tapes. The other day I found a tape, like I didn't even see like the actual like cassette. I just saw like the string everywhere in like one of the parking lots at the schools. I was like, what? Who's playing a tape? I don't have a tape player. Your old car, which you gave to your mom, had a tape player.
Yes, it did. It was a 2003 Corolla.
Yeah.
That still had a tape deck. Do you have a tape deck?
I have a tape deck in my car.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
One last question, kind of like a funny question. So at the top of the show, we mentioned we met you at the Daily Brew when you were working there. How did you like working as a barista? Was that like a cool gig?
Barista's fun. I miss it. It took me a lot of places. Just that craft itself. Yeah, I got to do a lot of cool gigs. Got to work at a cool place. Very fun. You meet all kinds of walks of life. It's funny. I always thought I could like predict the kind of personality that somebody would drink something, but humans are very much unpredictable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if they're getting oat milk with their cafe latte or something like that. Doesn't matter. But yeah, very fun job. Loved it. It's very much a finesse to it. Very much a craft. And it's appealing to the person that just doesn't care about coffee, and it's appealing to the person that, you know, cares a lot about coffee. So it's very cool. In that sense, I would say it's very malleable to people that enjoy it.
Nice.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now that like the Daily Brew has closed and the Ball Grog has turned into a boba place, like where do you get your coffee like locally? You have a spot?
There's this place off of, if you're familiar with Montebello, right? Washington and I think it's Greenwood, right there where the Jiffy Lube is. You see, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So like there's the plaza right after that. There's this place called Anita's Bakery, and they have like a Cafe de Olla there.
Oh.
I just like going to places like that. It's, you know, it's probably like maybe, what, $3 for a Cafe de Olla, but I'll grab it, you know, and then I'll talk to the lady. Sometimes they have good breakfast burritos, but I'll go there. Nowhere fancy. Just try to, you know, support local businesses. I try to stay away from bigger conglomerates or things like that, you know?
Especially
since Starbucks is like, you know, kind of involved in some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So try to keep my pocketbook and to the local community and give back.
Denise is all about that.
I'll have to check that one out.
I think that might be where we get the sweet bread, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be.
Oh, yeah.
Like right next to the Mexican restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we get sweet bread there.
Right across from Jack. All right,
we'll try the Cafe de Olla next time.
Yeah, I don't think we're like, I'm always like at the pan dulce places, I'm always checking out like the champurrado, like if it's the season. So, but yeah, I'll have to check out the Cafe de Olla.
For those non-English speakers, Cafe de Olla is like Mexican. I don't know if it's Mexican. I drank it like growing up Mexican, but it might not be like a Mexican thing. But anyways, it's like you make coffee in like a clay pot and then you put like cinnamon in it. And like, yeah, it's really good. I dig it.
And sugar. Like what?
Oh, brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Piloncillo, that's right.
Piloncillo. I can't say it.
I don't know what that is in English. Piloncillo. It's just like a brick of sugar.
Yeah legitimately.
Sugar.
And you melt that down in there with the coffee. It's really good. I freaking love it. But anyways, with that, we made it to the end of the show, everybody. Whoop!
Yay.
Robert, thanks so much for joining us. If you made it this far, thank you very much. We know there are a million different ways for you to spend your free time. And we just want to say thank you for spending a few of those minutes here with us. Robert, again, if people want to get a hold of you, if they want to get your little micro journalism concert reviews when you start doing those again, where can they find you?
Handle would be at @RUEBERTO on Instagram, and then drop the O on X.
And Denise, where can people find you?
At Deeper Music, DEEFUR Music on Instagram.
All right. If you want to get a hold of the show, email is the way to go. feedback@lppod.com. We're also on Instagram @thelppod. If you want to listen to more podcasts that Denise and I have done together and on our own, check out talkingishard.com. The only two active podcasts right now are the Listening Party podcast, which is this one that you're listening to now. And Denise also has the 110 podcast. She puts a lot of work into that. She's planning something big for the 100th episode, so stay tuned for that. That does it for us this month. We will talk to you again next month. Robert, thanks again. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye.